Let's open with hymn number 27. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Have respect, O Lord, unto thy covenant. O let not the oppressed return ashamed. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause, and forget not the voice of thine enemies. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture?
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we most heartily thank thee that thou hast granted us to live in this accepted time when we may hear thy holy gospel, know thy fatherly will, and behold thy Son, Jesus Christ. We pray thee, most merciful Father, let the light of thy holy word remain with us, and so govern our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, that we might never forsake thy word, but remain steadfast in it, and finally obtain eternal salvation through thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this 13th Sunday after Trinity is found in the 7th chapter of Zechariah, the 4th through the 10th verse. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, "Say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the 5th and 7th month during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? Should you not have obeyed the words which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets, when Jerusalem and the cities about it were inhabited and prosperous, and the south and the lowland were inhabited?" Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion every one to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother." Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 3rd chapter of Galatians, the 15th through the 22nd verse. "Brethren, I speak after them in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hands of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe." Here ends the epistle lesson. Have respect, O Lord, unto thy covenant. O let not the oppressed return ashamed. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause, and forget not the voice of thine enemies. Hallelujah, hallelujah. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Hallelujah. The gospel is found in the 10th chapter of Luke, the 23rd through the 37th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Then he turned to his disciples and said privately,
Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever you spend more, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds,
God of God,
light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing hymn 349. Peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is in Luke chapter 20, verses 23 through 37. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. People were always asking Jesus questions. Some of them were his friends. Some of them were his enemies, and some were only curious. Here in our text today, we have a man who certainly was not curious. His intent is plainly described. He asked Jesus a question to test him. It was the kind of test that one man might ask of a rival in an attempt to discredit him when he gave the wrong answer. The questioner in this case was a lawyer. Now, these men did not quite have the same job as today's lawyers, but they did have a similar reputation. They were, as their title implies, experts in the law. It was not the law of Rome that governed the province, but rather the law of Moses that they studied. The Ten Commandments, the ceremonies, the statutes, and judgments. And therefore, it's not surprising that this man would ask a question in his area of expertise. He says to Jesus, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" By this time, word had gotten around to the priests and scribes and lawyers that Jesus had a very different opinion of the law than the chief religious rulers of the nation. He made light of many ordinances which had grown out of their observance of the Mosaic law. He thought nothing of healing on the Sabbath day, or of allowing his disciples to glean a little grain from the roadside on the Sabbath day, as was the right of any traveler in Israel. And Jesus was often criticized for these things. He did not demand the ceremonial washings which the Pharisees insisted were a requirement. And therefore, it became a game of the enemies of Jesus to try to get him to directly contradict the law. But this was a fool's game, because Jesus had long ago made plain that he had no intention of contradicting a single syllable of the law. He said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Do you think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets? I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." After all, how could Jesus, who spoke that law in the first place on Mount Sinai, now contradict himself and deny the commandments that he had given to men? Nevertheless, the wondrous nature of the Son of God was hidden from this lawyer's eyes, and so he made bold to question the one who was the giver of the law. But Jesus quickly turns the entire question around. He says, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" In other words, "Why do you ask me? You know what the law says. You're the expert." Indeed, the man does know. He answers confidently, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." These are fine words, because they were first spoken by God himself when he gave the law. How could Jesus contradict them? He tells the man, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." "Now wait a minute," the lawyer's thinking. "I thought I was the one asking questions, and now I'm the one answering. And he is passing judgment on me." Now the lawyer was no dummy. He realized that he must have missed something, because the answer of Jesus did not leave him feeling at all good about himself. "This do, and you shall live." This do. "Love my neighbor as myself." Oh, but who is my neighbor? Who indeed? Do not miss what happened here. Nowhere does the man grapple with anything other than the law which he spoke from his own mouth. "You have read the Ten Commandments. You've heard the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." It does not take a lifetime of language and law studies to understand what these things mean. You too must ask the question, "Who is my neighbor?" Because if your neighbor is the man you are to love as yourself, if he is the man whom you are to help, befriend and comfort and support, and in every way help to prosper, if you would enter eternal life, then you too must know whom your neighbor is. The lawyer asked the question because his conscience was crying out. There were obviously some people whom the lawyer did not love as he loved himself, or else there would have been no need to ask the question. Otherwise, he would have not felt the desire to justify himself. Who is your neighbor? It is the people living next door. It is the lady at the checkout counter. It is your sworn enemy. Your neighbor is whomever happens to be around you. Even if that person is the man you hate the most, it does not matter. That is the person that you must love. And so Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's not really a parable at all. It is a story, an illustration of what it really means to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the man in the story who was attacked by robbers and beaten and left for dead was Jewish, we presume because he came down from Jerusalem heading north to Jericho. as Jesus was passing, was speaking this parable to a Jew, you might wish to think of the man as an American, of the same ethnic and religious background as yourself. A Christian man or woman bleeding, dying on the sidewalk. And after a while, along that same road, a pastor walks by, and he sees the man up ahead, and he crosses the street to the other side, and he doesn't even look at him. He just keeps going and ignores the man's moans. And after a while, an elder at the local church comes along, and he too notices the beaten man bleeding on the sidewalk. And so before he can get too close and get too messy, he crosses the street, and he continues on trying to forget what he has just seen. And finally, a third man comes along. Who is he? For the Jews, he was a Samaritan, an easy target, because Jews and Samaritans almost universally hated one another. For you? Well, he could be any number of people. He could be a Jew, I suppose. He could be a black, Somali, Koran-carrying Muslim. He could be a local gang member. Think of the person that you despise the most, and it is that man who comes and who sees the poor wreck on the sidewalk and quickly rushes over to him and gathers him up and takes him to the local clinic or hospital, leaving his own money and a promise that he will come back and he will pay whatever medical expenses are incurred in nursing this man back to health. Now Jesus asks, which was the better neighbor to him who fell among thieves? Well, of course, it was the man who showed mercy. Now Jesus says, go and do likewise. And notice what this means. It means now reverse the roles. That man in the story who helped you when you were bleeding and beaten, that man whom you despise more than any other, picture him as the one who was beaten and left for dead. The man whom you would rejoice to see dead. Whomever that man was, go and treat him exactly how you would wish to be treated if you were in his condition. For if that man is your neighbor, then you must love him as you love yourself. Do you? Or rather, do you hate and despise him? Perhaps you might stop to help him anyway. Maybe you will swallow your pride and pinch your nose and suppress your revulsion and stoop to his level and help him. But if you continue to despise the very man that you are nevertheless helping, are you loving him as you love yourself? Are you treating him with the utmost compassion? Is your heart free of all hatred? Is it indeed? Jesus says, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. For if you do not, then you surely have not kept the law from which all other commandments flow, the law of love. And if you have not kept the commandment even to love your neighbor, how then can you possibly keep the commandment to love God with your entire being? You don't even obey his words concerning your neighbor. How then do you love him if you break his commandments? The Apostle John declares that if someone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Jesus has called us to just such a love as Christians. And it is true that only in Christians is this kind of love found at all. And yet no Christian, no matter how faithful he may be, how completely he might submit to in his spirit to God's word, can claim to love his neighbor as himself. So long as there is even that little hint of hatred in your heart, anger, resentment, or even grudging submission to loving your neighbor, especially your enemies, you have broken the law, and you stand condemned. There is only one man who has done what the law demands. Only Jesus loved his neighbor, including his enemies, as himself. when his enemies reviled him and laid hands on him and spat on him and called him names and beat and bloodied him and like rabid dogs delighted in his suffering and death, Jesus did not answer them in kind. Only Jesus, when his enemies had succeeded in having him arrested, nailed to a cross and crucified, said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And only Jesus laid down his life, not only for his friends, but also for his enemies. We are the enemies of God. We are the man who passes by on the other side. We are the ones who stand by and watch as Jesus is taken, beaten by thieves, and robbed of his life. In fact, because it is our sins for which he died, it is we who are the thieves. And yet, even as we despise him in our natures and cannot keep his commandments, he dies for us. He lays down his life for us, and he takes upon himself our sin, and he willingly suffers these things. He bears God's wrath against sin. He who knew no sin becomes sin for us, so that the Father in justice must also pass by on the other side and forsake his Son for a little while, that we might be saved not just for a little while, but for all eternity. Even as our love was cold, his was rich toward us. And he continues to love us with that same everlasting love which he demonstrated upon the cross. And now when you are beaten and bloodied and worthless to the world, a failure in your own eyes and in the eyes of men, and yes, even in God's eyes, Jesus still comes, and he has compassion upon you. He pours his healing oil, which is his spirit, and his wine of redemption, which is his blood, into you. He forgives you your sins with his blood, and he quickens you with his spirit. And because you have no means with which to pay for him, to pay him for this, he has paid it all himself. And he does not leave you only half healed. He cares for you all the days of your life. Whatever you need, no matter how great the cost, he pays it all. Yes, while we were his enemy, he loved us completely. And he loves us still. And he still has paid all the cost, and he asks nothing in return, but that we believe that he has redeemed us and done all that is necessary so that we might have eternal life. For he is the man whom when the law said, "Do this," he did so for us. May God grant us hearts that love our neighbor in return, so that we who have been so richly healed and blessed by our Savior Jesus Christ might share this blessing with all men. God grant it. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Heavenly Father, eternal and almighty God, who through the blood of the everlasting covenant didst bring again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, perfect us in every good work to do thy will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in thy sight. By thy Holy Spirit, work in us a true and living faith in thee and in thy Son, whom thou didst send, that in thy manifold goodness and mercy we may be found in him, not having our own righteousness which is of thy law, but that which is through the righteousness of Christ. O thou who art the author of all good counsels and all holy desires, work in us such love toward thee that we, loving thee with all our hearts, may love our neighbor also. Help us to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thee. Grant that we may ever show compassion to the needy, bear the infirmities of the weak, and having fervent charity toward all. Work in us obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may refrain our tongues, that they may speak no guile, that we may do good and shun evil, that we may pursue peace and commit ourselves to thy tender care. Move thy church with gratitude for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that the uttermost parts of the earth may hear of thy salvation. Grant unto thy called servants of the word a heart for the lost, and a right understanding of thy doctrine, that in all their labors thy name may be glorified. Bless our nation, that mercy and truth, honor and peace may everywhere prevail. Give success to all that labor for righteousness, and overthrow all who work iniquity, that we come not under thy reproach and judgment. Let the Spirit of Jesus Christ come into our homes to strengthen all parents, that they may, by excellent example, encourage their children and youth in the practice of virtue, and lead them to usefulness in thy service and in the service of their fellow men. Bless all who are engaged in honest labor, and grant them contentment and due reward for all their endeavors. Help all men to see that whatsoever they do in word or deed, they are accountable to thee. Pour out thy mercy upon all who are in trial or adversity, especially those who are suffering for the sake of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and save them by thy mighty power, that they may know that thou art the true and only Sovereign, and thy Son the true and only Savior. Now, dear Father, for his sake forgive us our sins, and cleanse us by his word, giving us the hope and promise through him of life everlasting. In his name. Amen.
We sing hymn 498.
Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. True body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God, the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 158. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.